How are you guys doing tonight? Now, it might be just me, but man, every one of those songs is like right on for tonight. It's amazing. Every one of the songs that we were singing. God, I want to fix my eyes to you. And that's right on for the word tonight. Tonight, we're talking about faith. We've been talking about faith for a while. We're doing a call to character, and tonight it's about faith. It's been faith for a few weeks. This might be the third or fourth week. Am I wrong? Third week, right? James preached, and anyway, we had a lot of good messages, but anyway, so we're going to jump right into it. There's going to be a lot of revelation. I'm going to get things revealed to me. You're going to get things revealed to you. It's going to be great. We're going to have some good time tonight. So let's jump right into it. When we think of faith, a lot of things come to our mind. We think of miracles. We think of God's kingdom coming here on earth, right? That's a rhetorical question, but I'd love you to answer because we like playing ping pong here. But faith, we think of it and we start thinking, if I just had enough faith. But it was so funny that Jesus says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. And so we go, do I really have faith? I thought my faith was big, but it might not be that big. I can't move mountains. So we start thinking about what is faith. And I started searching the scriptures. Josh, Pastor Josh Tanner, a while ago, about last week, right after GM, he said, you're preaching next week. I'm like, okay. So here I am. And I started searching the scriptures. I was like, what is faith? God, what do you want me to preach on? So I started doing my researching. I started searching the scriptures. I started reading theologians and seeing what they said about it. And I started asking the people, what is faith? And I came to that as I looked through each of the scriptures, as I read about 90% of the scriptures on faith, the word faith in it, I came to that there's no actual definition in the Bible that gives you faith. And you'd say, but yes, there is. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, right? But see, the Bible never gives you the answer of what faith is in substance. In other words, you can't really look at it and say, that's faith. It always gives it what it is in action, right? Something hoped for. And so tonight I'm going to do my best from the scriptures and by the Holy Spirit to give you what I believe is faith. I'm going to have you ask a few questions tonight. Ask them to yourself. Are you really saved? It's a huge question. It's mind-boggling. Sometimes we don't want to think about it. But it's a good question to ask ourselves. This whole message tonight has been about fixing our eyes on Jesus. Giving everything away. Right? All the songs we've been listening to. Give it all and give it to Him, right? So we're going to think about that tonight. Are we saved? Now, my favorite way of somebody preaching faith would be to hear every name of God. Hear the names of God. The Bible says, magnify the Lord with me. And I think that that's an awesome way of building our faith. Right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Right? And I love that. I love the idea of hearing who God is. That if you magnify God, He becomes bigger. And everything else shrinks. The Bible doesn't say magnify God in people. Or magnify God in miracles. The Bible says magnify God. And my way would be to give you all the names of God. And so you can look at Him and go, okay, that's who He is. But I think God has another way for us to do that tonight. We're going to magnify the Lord in different ways tonight. And tonight, I'm relying on Him. I believe that faith is being reliant on God. It's relying on Him. And so today I'm going to act in faith. Tonight I'm going to act in faith. I'm going to rely on Him because He's going to speak to you of who He is. Only He can really do that. Only He can really tell you who He is. So I'm going to rely on Him to speak to you. Open your ears and your hearts. We're going to read some scriptures. You guys got your Bibles? We're going to go to Matthew 8. Go to verse 5. I'm going to start reading because we've got a lot to go through today. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Would you say the word and my servant will be healed? For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant do this and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to these following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone," key word, "anyone in Israel with such great faith." You can meditate on that word for a little bit, and we're going to flip over to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 53, 15, 53. Matthew 13, 53. It says this: "When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed." And I want you to think about the questions they asked. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this his mother's, isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor." Verse 58 is one of the key scriptures for tonight. "And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith." Hebrews 12:2 says this: "Let us fix eyes on the perspective of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the throne of God." I'm going to read it one more time. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's pray. Mighty God, we come before you tonight. God, we come before you and we magnify you. God, we magnify who you are in essence and in action. Father, we magnify you tonight. God, I pray that you would illuminate your word to us. God, illuminate our hearts. God, speak to us. Show us who you are and call us to a closer place to where you are. God, I pray that right now, God, you'd have your way. That, God, your kingdom would come and your will would be done. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Santa Claus. We love Santa Claus. Oh, sorry, we love Christmas, right? Christmas is a good time. Give presents. But the funny thing is, where did this jolly old fellow come from? This big fat guy that gives presents to people around the world. Somehow this 350-pound guy can go around the world in one night and give presents to everybody. Now, to me, that's just weird. It's weird. It's sickening. It just doesn't make sense. I'm going to UAA right now, and I'm taking a biology class. Another thing that doesn't make sense is evolution. That's a whole other story, but just these things that people believe in. The word boggle again, it boggles my mind. That people would think that some fat guy is going to travel around the world in one day and give presents to everybody. It just doesn't make sense. It actually makes me laugh. But the sad part is that people believe it. Something so funny, something so dumb, yet everybody believes it, or a lot of people believe it. It's sad. It's sad what it's done to our faith. We don't understand it. We can't see it. It's things that are unseen. But the truth is, to some people, Jesus is just another Santa. Jesus is just another guy who just kind of goes around and helps people out. And I'm going to show you tonight that Jesus can't be just another. He can't just be another in your life. He can't be just another. I'm going to show you tonight that faith relies on our perspective of who he is. It's huge. We're gonna see that tonight. We just read two scriptures, Matthew 8 and Matthew 13. We also read Hebrews 12. But Matthew 8 and Matthew 13, I want you to look at the differences. You come to two differences in those scriptures, right? Both times the word faith comes up. Matthew 8, the word faith comes up. Jesus saying, I have not seen anyone with such great faith in Israel, right? The next one, the Bible says that Jesus did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So if we take these two scriptures and we look at them, we come to understand that obviously one of them did something wrong and the other one did something right. And I'm going to show you this perspective. See, the centurion came to Jesus and he knew who he was. He saw him as authority. He saw that he wasn't just another. You see? He saw that he wasn't just another man. He saw that he wasn't just another guy that came around and did miracles. He saw that he wasn't just another Santa Claus giving gifts. He saw that he just wasn't another. And then you have the other guys, his hometown people. And they said, he's just the carpenter. Isn't he Joseph's son? Isn't that his mom? Aren't these his sisters? How can this guy do something like this? And they had no faith because of their perspective of who he was. They saw him as just another man. Just another carpenter that came through town. Just another somebody that claimed to be a somebody that did miracles. We can't see Jesus as just another. We can't see God as just another miracle worker. It just can't happen. We're going to do a little verses here. We think about the woman who bled for years. The Bible says that she made her way through the crowd. Most theologians believe that there were many people around Jesus when he was doing his miracles. Many. Crowds. It was very hard to touch him. And here's this lady who had been bleeding for years. She saw who he was and she reached out. She said, if I can just touch his cloak, I'll be healed. It was when she saw him and touched him that she was healed. We see Peter. Peter and the guys are on the boat. And they're just chilling. And they see this guy coming across the water. And they say, it's a ghost! Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's me. And once Peter realized it was him, what did he do? He said, okay, if it's you, since that's you, let me come out there with you. Since you're walking on the water, since you're rising high, since you're above all these things, since you, then let me come out there with you. He saw him who he was. The centurion saw who he was. They didn't see him as just another. They didn't see him as just another ghost, just another religion, just another belief. But they saw him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They saw him that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And there was no other way. It was when they understood who he was that their faith increased. Once again, our perspective of who he is where our faith lies. John the Baptist, he goes to jail. And all these natural things are happening to him. He's threatened to be killed. And he has somebody go to Jesus and ask him, are you really the Messiah? Are you really the Lamb of God? Questioning who he was. Unbelief. Wondering if he was the Messiah. Amazing. The people at Jesus' hometown questioning who he was because of their lack of faith, because of their understanding of who he was or the perspective of who he was. He had no faith. And when the disciples were all sitting around, Jesus rose from the dead. They didn't believe their sisters. They didn't believe that he rose. It was why he came. It was what he preached every day. It is what he preached every night. The message that he preached is that, listen, I'm going to die and on the third day I'm going to rise. Expect that. His disciples heard him preach it hundreds of times. We don't really know how many times, but we see it a lot of times in the Bible. That was his message. That's who they followed. And then when it happens, they question. Thomas questions. I have to see him to believe it. I need to see him to believe it. Jesus shows up. You have little faith. And this is huge. That when Jesus is just another, Christianity just becomes a religion. You see? It just becomes a legalistic way of life. And we might not totally get it, but ask yourselves, next time you get sick, who's the first one you go to? Next time you have a problem, is it your boyfriend, is it your girlfriend, or is it God who you go to? Who's the first one you go to? Because if you didn't see him as just another, you would run to him. If you didn't see him as just another, he would be the first one you'd go to. He would be the healer. You wouldn't go to another doctor. I'm not saying the doctors are wrong. Doctors are necessary. Sometimes we need doctors to help us get babies out of our wombs, right? I don't have a womb. John 3:14-15. Sorry, let's flip to Numbers. Let's go to Numbers 21. You guys don't have to go there. You can go there.
Yeah.
Numbers 21, I'm going to read it real quick because it's getting hot in here. It says this, 21:4. They traveled from Mount Hor. Yes, is right. Along the route to Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Go on to verse 8. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. He made the bronze pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Then we go to an awesome scripture. John 3:14-15. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone that believes in him may have eternal life. And we read that and we go, man, that's good. The next scripture says, that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, right? That whoever believed in him would have eternal life. But we stop and we look back at Numbers and it says, but it said that if you looked at the snake, you would live. You go to John, it says, if you believe, you would live. So you look at these two, you look at these two scriptures, these two words, believing and looking, and you say, well, if both of them make you live, then something's going on between these two words. If looking in the Old Testament was saving, was salvation, was your earthly body would live, And believing in the New Testament was everlasting, eternal salvation, then these words, looking and believing, have to have something in common. If Jesus referred to this chapter, this book, and this word in Numbers, if he referred to that, then obviously this scripture has something significant to do with what he's saying about our salvation, isn't it? It's got to be pretty big. If looking is huge in the Old Testament, then believing must be huge in the New Testament. So we put these two together and we say, well, then they have to be the same. My conclusion is these must come together. My conclusion is believing is looking. Believing is looking. But we say, but we can't see God. We can't see him. That's where it gets good. That's where it gets real good. Because now believing is looking from your heart. Believing is looking upon a saving God with your heart. Faith anymore is looking from your heart to a saving God and realizing who he is. See, sometimes the perspective is seeing him as just another savior. Just another jolly old Santa Claus coming to give good gifts on earth. Right? But when you see him for who he is, see him as a savior on the cross. That all of us have been bitten by a snake and he has come to heal us. All of us have the wrath of God upon us. But it's he who looks upon the face of God. It is only he who gazes upon the face, the eyes of the all-seeing God that is saved. It is then that salvation begins, when we start to look and gaze upon the face of God, and that he is our Savior. That's where it's beautiful. Looking to a saving God from your heart. Believing to the unseen Savior. Believing of an unseen Savior. The one you can't see with your eyes, but the one you can see with your heart. Gabby, what was that song you were singing? The song we were worshiping to, about fixing our eyes upon Jesus. Right. But it was about speaking to our soul to look to Jesus, right? That's what this is about. Speaking to our soul to look to Jesus. And this is something that we, as GM, are huge about. Is this right here. Pride. It is pride when you don't look to Him. You go, what? It is pride when you don't look to Him. So, if pride is not looking to Him, and looking to Him is believing, and pride is sin, then we come to the conclusion that unbelief, not looking to Him, is sin. Huge. Some people believe that pride is the ultimate sin. I come to find a conclusion that it might be. When you don't look to Him, it's sin. John 17:3. We're going to keep getting deeper. See, we're right here right now. And see, sometimes you think, we're going to go here, but no, we're going to go here. We're going to keep magnifying who He is. Because see, faith, salvation doesn't stop there. It just gets deeper. And we're going to see that. Because God's calling us closer to see who He is. I'm coming to see who He is more right now. I'm amazed right now. I'm in awe right now. Our God is huge. And He's calling us to look to see who He is more and more. He wants us to go to our schools and put them on a stand and say, look, this is Him. This is Jesus. He's the one who's Savior of the world. And that's where we kind of fade into the background. Let Him have His way. Because He's King. And He's Lord. John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you. Jesus is praying. This is His last prayer. It's amazing that we get Jesus, God, speaking to God. It's ironic. It doesn't make sense that God would be speaking to God. Huge. It's amazing for us to get a picture of this. Wow. God is speaking to Himself. Beautiful. And we get the words. We get the Son speaking to the Father. The question is, Jesus says, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. So who is Jesus? Now this is eternal life, that they may know you. Jesus is speaking to God, speaking to His Father. Father, if they know you, that's eternal life. The only true God. And Jesus Christ, me. I'm sure you like that part. Whom you have sent. That's eternal life. And then we go, but you just said that if we just looked upon God, we're saved. It just gets deeper. See, if you caught what I said that faith just starts there. That's where salvation starts. I'm here tonight to say that it's a walk of salvation. Faith and knowing are eternal life, right? We're saved by grace, right? Faith in the grace of God, right? The righteous will live by faith, right? Righteousness is being right with God. Being right with God is salvation, right? Faith in God is salvation. Looking upon God is salvation. Knowing is salvation. Faith and knowing, they're both salvation. Who knows math in here? I don't know math. I gotta ask somebody else. Anybody know math? James. 4/8, is that equal to 3/6?
Yes.
Good. Andrew said no, just in case nobody heard him. 4/8 is the same as 3/6, right? They both equal to 1/2. Am I right? But they look different. If you look at 3/6, it says 3/6. There's no 4/8 in there. And if you look at 4/8, there's no 3/6 in there. But when you work the problem out, they're the same. From the beginning and the end. Right? So if faith and knowing God are both eternal life, both come to the same conclusion, then we must come to this conclusion. Wow, knowing God is huge. It's just as big as looking to God. Right? Faith. Faith is knowing God. Faith is knowing God. I want you to think about that. Faith is knowing God intimately. Salvation is knowing God. If I walked up to Pastor Josh Tanner and shook his hand, good to meet you, buddy, and walked away, do I know him? I mean, of course we know each other because we meet every Tuesday at 12 o'clock and he buys me lunch, glory to God. That's good. We know each other, but if I never met him before and I just walked up to him and shook his hand and said, nice to meet you, and walked away, and I just kind of heard things about him, that he can preach, that he's got like 6 kids and he's working his way to 10, and that he has one, he's got one good eye and the other one's crazy. It doesn't mean I know him, it just means I know about him, right? I know a lot about him. Pastor Josh, I love you. I know a lot about him, but until I can sit with him and until he can come to me and I can come to him and we're brothers one-on-one and we can talk about stuff and I see him as my pastor and we connect, we're best friends. That's when knowing starts coming together, huh? That's when it starts getting beautiful. That's when friendship starts and trusting starts. So my question to you, do you know God, or do you just see him at Kalati's one day, shake his hand and walk away? Or do you see him in GM one day and say, hey, man, you're beautiful. That was a good song. Did you see him on the cross that one night and walk away? Because you know about someone doesn't mean you know them. But if you know someone, then you have to know about them, right? There's a difference between knowing and knowing about. So then everybody goes, wait, getting a little deeper. Well, how do I get to know him? How do I get to know God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? It's very simple. My one of my conclusions tonight is it's very simple. You just hang out with him. Just like I would hang out with Pastor Josh Tanner. And you guys go, of course, duh. That's in prayer. That's in reading the Word. Fellowship with him. John 5:19. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. We see Jesus. The Son. Emmanuel, God coming to earth with us. He can only do what he sees the Father do. Don't you think that's huge in our life? What was Jesus, the Son, and the Father have in common? They always looked to each other. Jesus didn't do anything. He didn't do anything unless he saw the Father do it. I love how Josh Tanner puts it. Pastor Josh Tanner, he says it's like this. It's like hearing the heartbeat of the Father and getting in beat with it. It's like he's just kind of walking down the street. Okay, Father, heal this person. That's how it was. That's how it is for us today. It's still the same. Jesus continually looking to the throne room of God and seeing his Father for who he was. Continually, faith is continually looking to the Father. Because when I continually hang out with Pastor Josh Tanner, I continually get to know him more intimately. And when he tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. Right? Continually gazing upon God Almighty is faith. Continually gazing upon the Father. John the Baptist. He's hanging out, baptizing people. How fun would that be? God, John, I want you to dunk people's heads in the water for an X number of days. When you see Jesus, you tell everybody to go from you to him. He goes, all right, shoot, I can do that. Get out of here. I mean, how awesome would that be? If I got paid to do that, even if I got to eat locusts to do that, and wear camel's wool to do that, I would do it. It'd be fun. Right? But see, the thing is this, though. Everybody was f***ing on John the Baptist. And if you read John, he says, behold, he's chilling, baptizing people. And in walks Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, comes. He's kind of chilling, walking around. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You don't hear much about John after that, do you? John understood something. Jesus wasn't just another. He was the Lamb of God. And it was his time to tell the people that were following him to look to Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God. It didn't say the Lamb of God for this century, the Lamb of God for this day, but it said the Lamb of God. And that's forever. We can always look to him. We can always see who he is. See, because beholding the Lamb of God is understanding that he can save me. The Lamb of God was the idea that they needed a perfect lamb to die, that all of our sins would be forgiven. And if he's the Lamb of God then, he can be the Lamb of God now. Because he's not only the Alpha, but he's the Omega. He's not only the beginning, but he's the end. He's not only the first, but he's the last. He didn't just start something in you, he's going to finish it in you. Because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Right?
Yeah.
And he can save you. Whether you're saved now, from your life, or not. Your friends need a lamb. They don't know God, give them the lamb. Show them the cross. Show them who Jesus is. He can save you from anything. I'm going to wrap up here in a second. 2 Corinthians. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. This is our last scripture for the night. By the way, we're getting just a little deeper. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. And here it is. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. What does that mean? When the law is read, the veil is still covering us. If you don't know Christ, the veil still covers you. It's still covering your heart. You can't see. You can't understand who God is. Right? It has not been removed because only in Christ it is taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. Verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord. Man, back to this again. Turning to God. The veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. We're being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. as I continually look to God, as I continually have faith in who He is and look from my heart, believe who He is from my heart, see who He is correctly, knowing that He is the Savior today, tomorrow, yesterday, and forever, what's going to happen? We're going to be transformed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, right? I start out with faith, I end in faith, because He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We're just going to keep transforming from glory to glory, from faith to faith. You ask yourself, how do I get more faith? I think I've given you the answer tonight. Looking continually upon the face of God, knowing who He is, and as you look to Him, His radiance, His glory will change you, will give you faith. See, now faith anymore isn't you earning it. We thought about this in the beginning. We thought that if I just had enough faith, faith anymore isn't earning it. You can't earn it. But see, now when you realize that I look to Him continually, faith now becomes a gift. It becomes a gift. Faith isn't pride. It can't be pride. When you think about faith, when you think about eyes are amazing. They can see everything but themselves. Unless you look into a mirror. But they can see everything but themselves, right? And if we look from our eyes and our heart upon God, you can't see yourself. You're not looking to yourself. You're just looking to Him. Faith in itself is impossible to be prideful. It is the very opposite. Because all you're doing now is you're taking your focus from yourself, from another person, from just another something, and putting it upon the Almighty God who is here today and tomorrow, yesterday, and will be here till the ends of the ages. It's not a matter of seeking for more faith, but it's continually looking to Him. Right? You can't earn it anymore. It becomes a gift. Gabby and Jordan, we're going to come into a little time of worship. And I'm going to kind of go through some last things tonight. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about who God is. That God is all-seeing. I want you to think about that. Think about your heart and think about God who is all-seeing. See, the awesome thing is that you don't have to look for Him. All you have to do is look to Him. And He's there. Because His eyes are always looking. The miracle is that faith, looking upon the all-seeing God, the all-seeing yet the unseen God, the God we cannot see with our external eyes, but the God we can only see with our internal eyes. That's faith. It's a gaze upon the all-seeing eyes of God and never looking away. It's continually looking upon who He is, allowing Him to transform you from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Because as we read in Hebrews 12:2, He's the author and the finisher of our faith. When you first looked at Him, that's where your faith began. And He's promising you, I didn't only just start it there, but I'm the finisher. This is where God's kingdom comes on earth. We ask ourselves, what is faith? And we think of God's kingdom coming on earth, didn't we? Right? Miracles. Am I taking it away from the idea of miracles are good? No. But I'm showing us how we can get faith. The miracle, the real miracle, is us seeing, looking to Him from our heart. Because there, when you see the all-seeing eyes of God in heaven, the Bible says He looks to and fro, looking, continually looking, waiting for somebody to look to Him. And you see us down here, putting our faith upon something else, looking at somebody else first. And where it gets beautiful is you look up to Him, and He sees you. He said, okay, this is where we start. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. Tonight, As we worship, I want you to ask yourself, do you know Him? If your faith relies on knowing God, if your salvation relies on knowing God, if salvation is eternal life, and eternal life is given to us by knowing God, then I want you to ask yourself tonight. Tonight we need to check ourselves and ask ourselves, do I really know Him? Have I really gazed upon Him? Or did I one day gaze upon Him and then another walk away? He's just all-seeing today as He was yesterday. We can always look to Him. And as we continually look to Him, He's going to transform us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Tonight, stand up and let's worship. Do you know Him? Or do you just know about Him? Faith is continually gazing upon the eyes of God and letting Him transform you from glory to glory. Heavenly Father, mighty God, wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace, God, tonight I pray Your Spirit would lead us to conviction. God, that we would feel Your conviction, that we would sense Your conviction. God, You would change us, transform us from glory to glory. God, I pray Your will be done here tonight. That God, by Your Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by Your Spirit, You would begin to draw these young people into Your kingdom more. God, they come to know You more and their faith would be increased more. We'd begin to see more miracles on earth. We'd begin to see more miracles in this ministry. We'd begin to see more miracles in their family. That God, You would bless their life. That God, You would give them faith. They would see that faith is a gift. And God, they would accept that gift. That God, Your kingdom would come here, rest in their hearts. God, You would have Your way. In Jesus' name, amen.